Hello and welcome to Chapter 15 of Nancy Graham Space Ranger. So a hen, a daw, a tree, and away we go. Ah yes, the Hobble-a-Granicker Defence League. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years since I set that up, said Mip. Some time had passed since the murderous nighttime marmsicle rampage that had claimed the life of former Jupiterian immigration official Chuz Rondlepeck. European Space Agency mission specialist Nancy Goodame McGinley was slowly drifting into sleep on a large high branch in the tree canopy of the Forest of Proverbs on planet Jupiter, just above a valley known as Pollen Asp. She had European Space Agency mission specialist Bart McMorrow, a Martian sheriff, a Martian waitress slash astronaut known as Martina Rudderspitch, and a Jupiterian known as Gum Gallagher, Umterwackle, slash Bip, for company. The branch lent itself to slowly falling into a sleep on top of for four reasons. It was remarkably wide, it was moss-covered, the surrounding air was warm, and the sounds of the Jupiterian fauna in the forest below had settled into rhythmic low-volume whistling and chirping. Nancy silently cursed Bip's interruption of her almost, but not quite, slumber.
I thought you were going to go for a kip, but you said so at the end of the last chapter, she said.
Ah, yeah, you're right, I did, replied Bip. He then paused and said,
I reckon what happened was that I got worn out by all the swinging up and down on spongorial vines in that chapter. And, of course, the death of that slimy tattletale Chuz Rondlepeck. And, well, you know, I'd say probably life in general. So I was tired and fancied a kip. But the thing is that I've just realised that it really bothers me that ye lot know nothing about the Hobble-a-Granicker Defence League. Because it's a shame to hate Sosman Barkstapple and not know about the Hobble-a-Granicker Defence League. And at the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day, Sosman Barkstapple is the main reason I got the HDL up and running. Nancy knew a long-winded explanation of the origin of the Hobble-a-Granicker Defence League was about to follow. Given the choice between what seemed set to be a long rambling story and sleep, Nancy would have chosen sleep, mostly because the previous day had been a busy one, and partly because the night so far had been no less active. What had started the previous morning as the simple matter of humans establishing their presence on a neighbouring planet ended after the completion of 9 remarkable pioneering events, among which were first human contact with extraterrestrial life, first murder of a Martian by a human, first murder of a cantabular glimp by a human, first visit to a Martian canteen by a human, first taste of a Martian breakfast by a human, first setting foot on a Jupiterian rocket ship by a human, first tasting of a Martian dinner by a human, first murder of a Jupiterian by a human, and first walking into the Jupiterian Forest of Proverbs by a human. Now, Nancy had been involved in all of those events, and that was before the nighttime marmsicle wrangling of Chapter 14. All of this meant Nancy was now very tired. So tired that Nancy fell asleep just before Bip started with his tale of the history of the Hobble-a-Granicker Defence League, which is probably for the best. Mission specialist Bart McMorrow and Martian waitress slash astronaut Martina Rudderspitch also fell into a deep sleep. The sheriff was the only one among the visitors to have heard Bip's story. This was because the sheriff, truth be told, secretly admired Sosman Barkstapple and was willing to forgo sleep in order to hear more about the reviled Jupiterian leader.
Just why do you hate Sosman, Bip?
Asked the sheriff.
I mean, I know he's a sadistic murderer who leaves a trail of misery behind him everywhere he goes, but, you know, your Jupiterian space rockets are pretty impressive.
Ah, replied Bip.
Ah, well, he added. Ah, well, indeed, and that is true. The Jupiterian Space Force does have good rocket ships, but remember, Sosman Barkstapple didn't start out with rocket ships. He started out with a novel way of heating water. A ropey and not very practical novel way of heating water. You see, Sheriff, Sosman Barkstapple is the kind of Jupiterian who can never be happy. Which, in a way, meant he was destined to lead others. Or at least make sure they were unhappy too. And this was partly achieved with the Snotagomble, which was what he called the machine that enabled his not very practical way of heating water. Actually, the original inventor had called it the kettle. But Sosman had the foresight to buy the idea and the name and then change the name but keep the idea.
Ah, very good, interrupted the sheriff. Changing the name, smart thing to do. Very good.
Yes, I suppose, continued Bip. The sounds of the forest below Bip and the sheriff and Nancy and Bart and Martina had fallen into an even slower rhythmic chorus of snored gonks and whistling spontaligers and meant Bip's earnest tale blended in with the surroundings.
You see, Sheriff, he said, Jupiterians have been getting their hot water from the Vendogriel Fisher since time immemorial, and Sosman decided it was time for a change, because he knew better, according to himself. The sheriff interrupted Bip for a second time.
Sosman reminds me of me when I was me. I almost thought of something like that, but I was far too busy at the time. Although, to be fair, if I had been Sosman back then, I'd have been much better than he was.
Right, said Bip. Anyways, the Snotagumble became a word that quickly disappeared from Jupiterian conversations for half a planetary cycle, and Jupiterians continued getting their hot water from the Vendogriel Fisher until midwinter, and the head priest made an ex-vestibule announcement declaring the Vendogriel Fisher Tierra non bonkatis, which meant, by holy decree, that it could not be used and the only way to prepare a hot drink was to use a Snotagumble, which meant Sosman Barkstaple became instantly wealthy and powerful.
The flute.
Remarkable, interrupted the sheriff for his third interruption of the story. The sheriff then adjusted his interruption by saying,
actually, not all that remarkable when you think about it. Becoming wealthy and powerful was probably to be expected for someone like Sosman, and to think all it took was divine intervention for him to do it.
Yes, said Bip. But, well, it was only the intervention of the head priest using an ex-vestibule announcement that made Sosman Barkstaple wealthy and powerful, which is possibly close, but not the same thing as an intervention from the creator of the universe.
Yes, it is, corrected the sheriff. And I should know, because the gut talks to me and tells me things to tell other people. So I can very much see where Sosman was coming from. And I bet it wasn't long before that great man graduated from getting Jupiterians to heat water with his Snotagumble to instructing them in all the important aspects of being alive, like how and when to eat, how and when to reproduce, and most importantly, the right things to think. That would have been a natural progression for a man like Sosman Barkstaple.
Said Bip. The trajectory of Bip's explanation of why he hated Sosman Barkstaple was not what he had expected. It had gone far enough off course to make the man seem less of a demented tyrant and more of a creature of reason, like every other Jupiterian. Bip's voice became shrill and a little bit angry.
I think you should remind yourself, Sheriff,
Bip, loud, high-pitched voiced,
that the natural progression of a Sosman Barkstaple involved creating a vicious and terrifying army and using them to destroy everything that was fun on Jupiter, before setting them to do the same for the solar system, as you, as a Martian, should be well aware of just what they've been up to.
Was the shrillest tone Bip could manage, and it woke Nancy, Bart and Martina. All three of them then heard Bip say,
the Sosniaks are always flying their rocket ships over to your planet, Sheriff. And I can tell you this much, those Sosniaks are not going there for the food.
You are right, agreed the sheriff.
The food on Mars is rotten, he said.
Excuse me,
muttered the freshly woken Martina Ruddlesplitch.
Sorry, Martina, corrected the sheriff. I thought you were asleep. I didn't mean your food because, well, I suppose I did. The food you serve in your canteen is disgusting.
I can imagine, agreed Bip. Anyway, life under the rule of Sosman Barkstaple became more and more annoying because Sosman's decrees became more and more regular. So much so that he changed Wednesday to Sosman's midweek missive day, which are an awful dose.
That is just your opinion, interrupted the sheriff for a fourth and final time.
The midweek missives sound like a fairly good way of getting the thoughts and instructions of a great and wise leader out to Jupiterians, Bip. Because Jupiterians, from what I hear, are thick as planks. And sadly for Sosman Barkstaple, he is, at the end of the day, a Jupiterian. Which means he should well know what it means to be stupid, and take it into account when he gives out instructions.
Nancy, Bart and Martina silently waited for Bip to reply to the sheriff, but he didn't. Partly because he was trying to align an insult to Sosman, which he agreed with an insult to Jupiterians in general, which he disagreed with. And also partly because he wanted to see what the final point the sheriff was making.
If I was Sosman Barkstaple,
continued the sheriff,
I'd have made those midweek missives into an all-week missive, so life on Jupiter could become an extension of my will.
The sheriff paused to collect his thoughts, gave a low cough, and went silent. The rhythmic whistling spontaligers on the forest floor far below filled the silence. Bip, Nancy, Bart and Martina waited for him to continue.
But,
continued the sheriff,
I suppose Sosman Barkstaple doesn't have the benefit of being Martian, or of being me. So the midweek missive idea was a good one for him, considering he is a dopey Jupiterian at heart.
Jupiterians aren't dopey,
interrupted Bip.
Ah, now come on, Bip, replied the sheriff. Yes, ye are. Ye are a bunch of clowns,
and Sosmond Barkstapple is the head clown.
Do you want a slap in the mush, Sheriff?
Snapped Bip. His tone of voice had once more reached peak shrill, which would have woken Nancy, Bart and Martina had they not already been awake.
What, for insulting Sosmond Barkstapple?
Asked the Sheriff.
I thought you hated Sosmond Barkstapple,
asked Nancy.
Yes, agreed Martina. The man has been trying to destroy the solar system, and his soldiers kidnapped Butterdaw and Fernt. He probably had his reasons for kidnapping Martians,
replied Bip in a slightly less shrill tone. He paused. Far below, the sounds of Jupiterian fauna continued their rhythmic whistling and chirping.
Probably. I don't know,
continued Bip.
But anyways, it's a bit cheeky of ye landing down on Jupiter and insulting the leader of the place.
Nancy said,
I thought...
For a second time, she was sure she had missed an important part of the conversation.
I thought...
She continued.
I thought you wanted to kill Sosmond. And that was the reason you set up the... Pobla Graniker Defence League.
Yes, I do, replied Bip.
And it was. In fact, all five of us are going to kill him together.
Replied Nancy.
We're just here to rescue Butterdaw and Flirnt. And European Space Agency Mission Commander Jerry Staunton. And, possibly the crew of San Laika 2.
That'll do, said Bip. And anyways, you'll probably have to kill Sosmond Barkstapple to do that anyway.
Bip then took a good look around before peering over the edge of the branch down into the forest floor below.
Speaking of which, he added, we should get going. Elot must have had enough kip if you're all awake. Plus, morning always comes when you least expect it to.
But it's still pitch dark, said Bart. When is sunrise?
If I knew that, I'd be a wizard,
noted Bip.
But don't worry, the morning will surely be along at some stage.
And that was chapter 15 for your sins, and 16 is next week. Thank you.